We're going to talk about something that we is not a super popular discussion. You don't hear about it a lot in churches, and you definitely don't hear about it a lot in social settings. But when you do, you get a little bit of fear in people. And we're going to talk about depression and mental illness. They're two separate things, but they're connected, and they do impact many people, and believe it or not, even Christians. I know sometimes we think, oh, you know, if you're a Christian, it shouldn't be a problem. Well, that's not true. It's a thing. So I'm going to read for you Psalm 42, and then I'm going to read in John. But I want you to close your eyes for a minute and just listen to what's being said. So close your eyes, and we're going to read in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been made food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan to the heights of Hermon and the Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. It's a mix of emotion, isn't it? He goes from praising to questioning to praising to questioning to praising. Struggling. And without worrying about who wrote it and why and all that stuff, the fact is the words speak clearly that even people in Scripture suffer emotional illness. Mental illness, depression. But it's not always about what we're going through. Okay, and we're going to get there in a minute. John chapter 11, verse 28 to 37. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she quickly got up and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying? Okay, so depression is a human emotion. Okay, and that's why we see that Jesus went through all sorts of different emotions. Okay, he's happy, he was sad, he was weeping, he was troubled. And believers at any time in our life can experience this depression. And we can draw near to God even when we feel depressed. And if you suffer from depression or some type of illness, you need to realize a few things. The very first thing is you are not alone. You are not alone. We tend in our society to isolate when things are confusing and scary, correct? When things we don't understand, what do? We isolate. We say, I don't want to deal with this, or we push away. So if somebody comes to you and says, I have depression or I suffer from a mental illness, they get pushed away because you don't understand it. Sometimes we don't understand it, or we're just afraid of it, right? Is this person going to do something rash? Are they going to do something to me, to themselves? We just panic because we don't really understand it. We all, in one point in our lives, have experienced darkness. We've experienced darkness. And sometimes it's tough to get out of that. And with many books written, writers have referred to the dark night of the soul, when we struggle and wrestle and just get stuck. And Scripture has many illustrations of prominent leaders who have been in those dark times or were going through those dark times. And so the writer in the Psalms expresses such feelings here in declaring that he has somehow lost the presence of God. Have you ever been there where you feel like you've lost the presence of God? I don't know about you, but I have. Now, I always know he's there in my head, but I just don't always feel it sometimes. Have you ever been there? It's a nasty place to be. It could be something that you've done that's caused it. It can be something that someone else has done that's caused it. But whatever it is, you just feel dark. And it's a horrible place to be. And you feel like God doesn't want anything to do with you. Yet, your head knows throughout Scripture, he loves us. He wants to be there for us. He hears us. You have all these Scriptures. But that one thing that sticks in your head, you can't get rid of. And so you go into this darkness. When my parents got divorced when I was young, I was about 10 years old, I went into a dark place. Not, I didn't do anything rash or anything, but I just felt like God was kind of being a jerk. And I figured he has big enough shoulders. He could handle how honest I was with him. And it was just something that, because I'm like, how could you let this happen? Right? That's what we do, right? We say, why, God, have you done this to me? Why, God, are you punishing me? When I know so many other people that deserve to be punished much more than me, why are you doing this to me? And we go there. You see, the writer expresses these feelings, and when he's saying that about that he's lost the presence of God, and he longs to experience again in the first one and two verses, crying openly and grieving to the point that people question his faith. So he's doing this in open, in public, and people are questioning his faith in God. We do the same thing to those that struggle with depression or mental illness. We do the same thing. We wonder, why is your relationship with God not better? I'm not saying we all do, but it happens. They could be stronger. It's unfortunate because we judge others, and then also, sometimes we judge ourselves. We'll say, God, why do I not have enough faith to get through this? Why? What is wrong with me that I can't get through this? And so we become depressed, and this writer is speaking here. He's aware of his emotional depression, saying, my soul is downcast. Most of the time, we know we're the same. We know we're depressed. You know when you're in a funk, right? You're walking around, everything's like a big dark cloud, like Eeyore. Oh, no. Everything happens to me. It's true. We do that, right? Eeyore is perfect for an illustration of that. And he just can't get out of it. Something good happens to him. He's like, well, you know, something bad's going to happen anyways, so whatever. And we get there. And that's okay. That's okay, as long as we don't stay there like little Eeyore, walking around with the cloud. And so we're usually aware of it. So the solution that the writer says here, now stay with me because this is not the only place, there's more to it. His solution is to praise God for who God is based on what God has said in his word and his proven character throughout history. Now, it's not necessarily based on our emotional state or what we feel like, but forcing our souls, forcing our innermost being to put hope in God. In chapters 5 to 11, he says, yet I will praise him. Now you say, well, basically, you're just saying, you know, pray and read your Bible. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that that's at least somewhere to start. And if that has slipped, that's a good place to start. But that doesn't always work for everyone. You see, this writer is in a spiritual depression, yet chooses to praise God. Feels abandoned, but yet chooses to praise God. And so that spiritual depression, that longing for God when you feel like he's not there, has a solution, and it's a movement through the process of handing our worries, our thoughts, our concerns, our cares over to God. And I've used this illustration before where when I've got something I can't let go of, I think of an old leather sack with a little leather tie on it, and I put all my worries in there, I tie them up, and I lay them at the feet of Jesus because he says, I can do that. Cast all your cares. Well, you say, that's nice and dandy, but it doesn't always work. And you know what? You're right. It doesn't always work. It doesn't always work. But for you to recognize that you are not alone is a step in the right direction. For you to recognize that you won't be isolated or pushed away is a great step. For you to not isolate and push away is a great step. And so we want to hand over those cares. We're not alone. And in the end, depression is depression. And the impact of it has the same results as mental illness in many ways. As different mental illnesses, is it a part of that? So the first thing is you need to realize you're not alone. Secondly, even through the storm, we can praise him. And I want to just tell you that this is the action. And I'm going to walk you through this. It's the action of doing something. And there's a reason why. There's a reason why. We're going to mess with our brains a little bit here when it comes to depression. Now, there are other things that we'll address in a minute that some of this won't even work because it's a bigger issue that needs to be handled properly. But if it's something that we can deal with, we can start in the right direction. So the action of, even through the storm, we can praise him. And I really know this sounds like a cop-out, and I am probably the first one in line to slap somebody when they say, you know, even through the storm, you can praise him. Yet I will praise him. It's like, how about you stop talking before my depressed fist closes your mouth? It's frustrating, right? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. And you don't want to hear it. Well, praise the Lord. Could be worse. And in some ways, this could be a cop-out. This in the storm, I can praise him. Now, it's actually a true fact. But when someone comes up to us and confides in us that they are suffering through depression or a mental illness, we do like to give that advice. Well, you should read your Bible and pray. Thanks, tips. That's a gooder. I didn't know that one. Or you got to get into the Word. Or chin up. You'll be all right. You know that there are people starving in Africa. Your problems are not that big. I love that one. That's my favorite. I used to use the one to the kids. Oh, really? Your iPod doesn't work? Well, you know, there's a child in Africa that's got to walk 20 kilometers both ways to get just a drop of water. I'd be like, what does that have to do with this? And they look at you all weird. I've used it. Did it help? Ask my kids. Probably not. No, actually, not probably. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. It didn't matter. That comment was silly. And it didn't help them. Now, these are all good things. Get into the Word, read your Bible and pray, meditate on God. Those are all good things, but in some cases, they just don't do it. Why is that? Because our minds are stuck in an emotional state. And this advice, when it says to pray and read your Bible, is actually a practical cognitive action. It's something we can do. The problem is, this advice isn't wrong, it's just incomplete. And in some cases, it's not enough. In some cases, it's not enough. You see, when we give that type of advice just openly and out there, it's not helping. It's just stating a fact. Well, you know this. You know that when things are down, you should already be there, but you should dig in more. You know that. And sometimes you do, and it doesn't help, and you're like, why isn't this working? It's the discipline of doing that. But the frustrating thing can be that we believe that when we give that advice, it's actually going to do something. You see, I deal with critical incident stress workers, whether they're dealing with just one critical incident stress, a buildup of critical incident stress, or it's blown into PTSD. Now, I don't clinically treat people for PTSD, but I do walk them through stuff on a spiritual side. But in critical incident stress, I deal with a lot of that. What happens is, you've seen a horrible thing, and usually it's with emergency service workers, but it can be anyone who's been adopted, anyone who's had trouble with anything, has a traumatic event. So even with my parents' divorce, all these things can be a PTSD where you react a certain way. And in my dealings with these types of issues, is they are stuck in an emotional state. And this is what happens when you're in that state of depression or whatever, and gets you there. If you've seen something horrific or experienced something horrific, all you can do is see that playing around in your head, and you can't get out of it. It's an emotional state, and your mind is stuck like many of the younger ones won't get this, but a CD when it skipped. I used to think those things would never skip. A record player skipping. Like, you just can't get it out of your head, and it's annoying as anything. And a lot of times, you know, we don't associate our brain like that. Like, our brain is actually a massive computer just working. And sometimes we can get stuck because of those emotions or those experiences, and you can't get the pictures out of your head, and you can't get the event or the tragedy out of your head. Now, this isn't an extreme case, but in a lot of these, what I do as I talk to the person, and as I'm talking to them and they're expressing what they've seen, okay, they'll tell me the horrific story. I'll say, okay, what have you done? Well, I just can't get that picture out of my head. Okay. And then I take them and I go like this real quick. What do you like to do as a hobby? They're like, what? What? I'm like, hobbies. Like, what do you do for fun? You know, is it, do you build stuff? Do you work on cars? Do you golf? Do you play hockey? Like, what is it that you do? Do you make things with your hands? And they'll say, oh, you know, yeah, I do this or that, something active. And I'm like, oh, that's good. So have you done that lately? Have you gone and done that? Well, no. I'm like, So why? Well, because I can't get this thing out of my head. And I'm like, you need to go, and you need to go do that. You need to make that happen right now, within the next day or two. You need to go and do that. Whether it's building something, fixing something, being with your kids, doing something, being with your good friend, whatever it is, you need to go do that and do something active. Because what you're doing is you're taking your mind from an emotional state that is stuck on a skipping CD, and you're turning it into a functioning, I'm going to do something with my hands. You're firing off all these receptors going, I'm doing something else. And while it may not last forever, it takes your brain away from the same path that it's been stuck on inside. And you go do something. So whatever that is for you, whether it's, you know, if it's if you're a woodworker and you're good at it, go do it. If you're not, don't, because you'll get frustrated. If you're not a good golfer, don't go golfing. That'll just drive you crazy, and then you'll be angry. You don't want to go from depression to anger and then back again. You just do something you know what to do. Physically do something, whether it's a run, a walk. You're changing your brain into doing something else to get it out. Because what happens when we get depressed? We isolate, right? We isolate. You isolate, I isolate ourselves, and then we push people away. Well, that's not very community-like, is it? We thrive here on a church that wants to be community-minded. If we push you away, that's not good. And if you push us away, it's the same. So we try to isolate. We actually do that. And then we hermit, and then it gets worse. Correct? Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the cycle. So when you're in that, you need to get out of it. You need to go do something. Doesn't mean that the depression is gone. Doesn't mean that the issue is gone. But it means you're firing off receptors in a different direction where you can physically do something instead of just mentally anguishing over something. That's why in this scripture, he says, even in the storm, I will praise him. Why? Because he's actually doing something. So when we were singing songs earlier, if you're just sitting there not doing anything, then you're not doing any action. But if you raise your hands, if you close your eyes, if you think on the things of God, if you're active in worship, if you're doing worship, then you are firing off a different path. They've done studies and they know that when you worship, it lights up a whole other side of your brain. They've studied people, mapped their brains out, all that kind of stuff. It's science. So physically do something. That's why he's saying, even in the storm, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to do something. Even in the storm. Not if I'm out of it or if this will get me out of it. How many times have you thought, God, if you would just get me out of this, I'll tithe more. And it's okay if you do. I'm fine with that. Or if you make a deal with God. Do you like putting out the fleeces? How many like to put out? Do you know what that is in the scripture? Is Gideon? Yeah. Foggy. Throws out a fleece, says to God, you know, if you do this, if you make the fleece wet on top and the ground dry, I'll do whatever you say. So God does it. And then he comes back and says, well, maybe how about you just do it the other way? Right? And he gives God all these deals. How many make deals with God? Just take it away from me and prove to me, and then I'll do something for you. Right? We do that. We make deals with God. Well, it doesn't really work that way. Even in the storm, we need to praise him. So when we're discouraged, we listen to that fear, that speculating fear in our hearts. In another way of explaining it, it means that our feelings and emotions, we let them run wild. Have you ever been there for that? We wonder, what if something unheard happens? I can't control it. What if this happens and then that happens and then we get in that cycle and we keep going and we skip? We get there because we've allowed the fear to get into our hearts. And in this scripture, he's saying, remember this, O soul. He's been listening to the advice of others. He knows the trouble he's going through. And he says to his own self, he says, remember this, O soul. He reminds his heart of the things God has done. What he's doing is he's taking his mind off the problem and saying, this is what God has done in the past. I'm going to still praise him. He also tells his heart that God is working in the troubles and through the troubles. He says the waves sweep over him. And he's still working. And this is moving from that state of just emotion to a cognitive action state. He is doing something. And so when he does that, we are helping get our brain out of the emotional state that it's dragged us into and into a practical, cognitive thing, doing practical things by praising and worshiping him. And this is kind of called self-reflection. It can be a recollection of what God has done and is doing in us. And it brings us to a point mentally where we can problem solve and we can function in a balanced way. And maybe it doesn't last forever. Maybe it's something we will always struggle with. But at least when we do something, it helps. It doesn't take away the problem. It just helps us adapt and it helps us adjust. Now, did you know that there have been studies, and this is very concerning, that there have been studies and half of evangelicals, half of church-going people believe that you can just pray a mental illness away. Do you know that 50% think that? Which is not good. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. Does that mean God can't do it? It's not true. He can do anything. But 50% think you can just pray it away? That's where the attitude comes from. Oh, you know, buck up. Things will be okay. That's where that at. You just pray about it. It's loose. It's flippant. You see, it's not always a spiritual fix. It's not always a spiritual fix or issue. You see, I could go into the complexities of the brain, and we could be here for a while. But I just want to tell you, the main point is our brain is complex. And some of you are saying, more than some, yeah. You see, in addition to spiritual or emotional depression, there's mental illness, which is a psychological illness involving chemicals in the brain. This is the kind of illness that should be treated as one would treat any other physical illness. And how do you do that? You go to a qualified doctor who knows things that you don't know, who studied a long time to become that person to help you. And what they do is they treat you properly. They give you the appropriate treatment. One might wonder, why can't we just pray and read the scriptures and get through it? Why can't that cure us? It's God's word, right? You've heard that, God's word. Well, because the reality is, in some cases, these physical and chemical and psychological issues cannot be treated any other way than with medicine. And that's a fact. Yes, prayer helps. Yes, prayer is important. Yes, prayer is powerful. Never stop praying. Never stop reading the Bible, the God's word. And God does still heal in miraculous ways. But more often than not, more prayer and more faith are not the remedy for mental illness. We have to stop thinking that way. Doesn't mean we stop. Just because you have more faith doesn't mean God's going to do anything about it. There's a bigger picture than just us, as we've said before. Medicine is needed. If you break your leg, if I fall down and break my leg right now, you can pray all you want, but I want you getting an ambulance here and taking me to the hospital, okay? If I have a stroke or a heart attack right this second, I want you to get me an ambulance. Pray all you want, people. Get me in an ambulance. Okay? Don't stand there staring at me, shouting tongues and all that kind of stuff at me, thinking it's going to work. Get me to the hospital. That doesn't mean I don't believe in God. That doesn't mean I don't believe he can do things. What it means is he's given us all a brain, pray, and get the help you need. Yes? Please, somebody agree, because if I drop right now, I really need you to call 911. Let's not play these games, people. We have an AED in the back. If I have to drag myself there with my heart stopping, I will do it if you won't. But somebody's got to do something, people. And then pray while I leave. Jump into action, and then pray as I'm leaving. Okay? Get action. Do something. In my storm, action me out the door. Okay? Please. Oh, I'm really concerned about this now, guys. I'm really worried about you. Okay. So, yeah. Please drive me to the doctor. You see, our brains, they're a physical part of our body, and they need to be treated as such, and they need to be taken with physical care. It's not something we should be ashamed of. It's not something to look down on about others, but it's definitely something we need to deal with. We don't look down on people because they go to the doctor for an infection. We actually say, it's a good thing. You should go to the doctor because your arm has fallen off. It's all infected. That's gross. Get it fixed. Get something. Go to the doctor. We don't laugh and say, oh, you needed antibiotics. What a loser. Like, we don't do that. We don't do that. So don't be ashamed of yourself. Don't look down on yourself or others. Even through the storm, we will praise him. Even through the storm. The third thing we need to realize is Jesus can identify. And we read in John the scripture, and he was deeply moved. He was deeply emotional. And I can't imagine what Jesus went through while he was on the cross. I can't imagine when they were beating him, when he was all alone. No one could help him. He can identify with our grief, with our sorrow, with our tears, with our struggles. He was half human, half God. 100%, sorry. You know what I'm saying. I don't want to mess up our theology because I'm going to get in big trouble. 100% God, 100% man, there it is. Okay. And so he was deeply moved. Jesus was deeply moved, and he can identify with us in many ways. We don't have to hide our emotions from God. We don't have to be ashamed of our depression, but instead we can run to him with all of our emotions, positive or negative, model just like the scripture says, and by Jesus, what he did. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30 says, my yoke is easy and my burden is, yes, he will carry that for you. He didn't always say, I'll just take it away. He said, I'll carry it for you, which means it's still there, right? He's taking it off of your shoulders. He's going to worry about it, but you may still have it in a way. And we have to be careful that we don't just dump it and think that the problem's gone because we prayed about it and we had enough faith. That's hogwash. It doesn't work. When we give it over to Jesus, though, we do need to realize that he is taking care of us. He is walking us through the dark storm. But the storm is still there. He's going to carry the burden, though, of that storm. You see, when my mother passed away just a few years ago, it was an emotional, I was a mess. I couldn't think straight. I had brain fog. I couldn't think of words. I was struggling. I basically felt like I had the vocabulary of a grade twoer. I was just messed up. And every time I tried to get my thoughts, they were just all mangled up. It wasn't the loss. It was part of that, but it wasn't just the fact that, you know, she was sick, she was getting older, these things happen. Like, I know that. I've been around it a lot. I've seen it. I've walked people through death. I've been there when they're dying. I know. But it threw me for a loop. It messed me up. And I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it to be that way. I thought, you know, she's in heaven. She's loving God. This is a good thing for her because she's always wanted to go there. You know, my mom said that a few times. I'm like, well, I'll let you hang on a little bit because we're kind of still here. Maybe don't do that. But it was one of those things where she longed to go to heaven. And when it happened, it messed me up. And I was stuck. I was stuck. And I knew I was stuck. Now, are there other things we can be depressed about and stuck in? Yeah, of course, there are bigger things that we can be upset about or depressed about. But the result is still the same. You get stuck. And no matter what anyone says, no matter what you say, no matter what you talk about, no matter how much Bible you read, no matter how much time you pray, you could pray until your knees bust open. I'm telling you right now, nothing gets you out of it when you're in it. It's very frustrating. So I understand it, and I get it. But I needed to get my brain out of that emotional state and into practical, cognitive state. And what did I need? I needed to stay the course with my devotions, and I needed time. You see, there are all sorts of things that happen when we get depressed. We lose sleep, which causes all sorts of weird stuff with your brain, right? How many can't sleep very well? You know it's not fun, right? Staring at the walls. See, I don't have that problem. I sleep like a log, snoring all day long, all night long. It's not an issue. As soon as that head hits the pillow, I'm out like a light. But what I do is I can't eat. I can't eat. Now, I ripped it up good my mom's death. I was like shredded. It was good because I couldn't eat. But I was also sick, which what was that doing? It wasn't feeding my brain. And therefore, I couldn't think properly. And I stayed in this continual cycle. No matter what your event was that has caused you, you need to do something. You need to physically do something to help move yourself out of it and continue that path. Remember when I talked about how if you just tweak the grip a little bit, you'll straighten it out? It's the same. Sometimes you just need to tweak your devotional life, your relationship with God. Sometimes you just need to actively do something that you're not doing. And you say, well, that would be fine and dandy if it was that easy. Well, no, it's not. It's not that easy. And sometimes you do need to go to the doctor for depression. Sometimes you need to go to the doctor for mental illness, and no one should look down on you because of it. This morning, I don't know if you suffer from depression. I don't know if you suffer from a mental illness. We've all experienced something on different waves of the scale. Or maybe you say, no, I've never had that, but you think it's a weakness in others. It's time to change our view on mental illness and depression. It's time to recognize what it is. It's a physical thing that needs to be dealt with appropriately. I'm here to tell you today that it does not show weakness and that sometimes you need a little extra help over and above prayer and reading your Bible. Again, I don't want to take away from that, but sometimes you need more, and you need talented doctors that God has given the knowledge and the skills to treat and speak into your life. This needs to change. Be encouraged today that you're not alone in depression or mental illness. Knowing that others suffer helps bring us into reality because people suffer from it. Secondly, when struggling, do something. Do an action. Build something. Focus on physical movement. Get out of the emotional thinking for a time. Work that out. Get help with doctors. Do something. Don't just sit there. Know that Jesus, thirdly, will walk with you. He will carry your burden. And he knows, because he sacrificed a lot. The journey may be long, but we need to take an action step forward for our own health's sake. Treat your brain as you would anything else. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day.